power, give us, and it's like, well, it's for a purpose. It's to proclaim the loud cry. It's to proclaim the three angels' message, but yet they don't realize that. They just want the power. They want the pixie dust, but they don't want the knowledge.
You know, you said something that really bothers me a lot. I keep hearing Adventists talk about, well, when the latter rain comes, when the latter rain comes, you know that you're calling Jesus Christ a liar. Jesus said, I go that I might send him. That was present tense. That isn't, and that I will someday send him if you're very, very good. No, the Holy Spirit is here. He is here in power. I cannot tell you what power he is in. I cannot tell you how he has worked in my life. I started to tell you a story about, how many times I have seen him manifest himself in my life. He's here. Accept him, period. Don't go waiting for something else to rain on. Yes, John.
Yes, I believe the last few weeks and a couple of months we have heard the Protestants who used to exist are going to Rome with the Pope, and they announce that Protestantism is over, Luther is over, there is no more protest. We are accepting Romanism mm-hmm. as the mother church, mm-hmm. and whoever doesn't unite with them are going to be out. Mm-hmm. And the Adventists are going to be exposed as a sore thumb if they don't join the ecumenical movement, which is going to be a separation, and that's what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm. And are you aware of the fact that there are some Adventist churches in the South that are now meeting on Sunday? Yes, dear.
I think if we spend a few more hours here today, we might get to a point. I'm getting excited here, and you're about to get me started. I don't know that the three angels' message is only a message. I think it's something that we're intended to experience. I think in Revelation, where it talks about the plagues being exceedingly great and they did not repent to give God glory, when the first angel's message says, give glory to God, it's something to experience. When the second angel's message says, Babylon has fallen, has fallen, are we experiencing confusion going out of our lives? Are we settling into the truth? Are we preparing to be sealed? You talked about why. I've been asked that question. I've been put in that experience, in that place to give answer to those people. God has put me in that position. I didn't ask. I'm a nobody from nowhere that didn't learn anything, and I don't know why.
You're a child of God.
Myself, but when others ask, why does God allow this to happen? I can refer to the Bible when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus wouldn't have told the disciples to pray for the Lord's will to be done on earth if it was already happening. So that tells us that God's will isn't being done on earth. So the things, we can't say, why did you allow this to happen, God? Because that's not God's will. After 9/11, the United States said, in order to protect you, we have to take away some of your freedoms. God won't do that. God won't take away our freedom in order to keep us safe. He makes himself vulnerable to that claim of, you did this to me, God. He takes the credit for the fire that came down and consumed Job's children, but we know that it wasn't God that did that when we read the background behind that. But God doesn't act the way man acts, that in order to keep you safe, we need to restrict your freedom. God won't do that. God allows us to be free, but when we see those things happen, when you say, the drunk driver that hit the kid in the yard, why did God allow that to happen? That wasn't God's choice. But that man was free to drink that case of beer, to get in that car, but it was not God's will that that happened. So just a little thought and something to add there.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's unfortunate that we leave so much in God's plate when we should be the ones who are doing it, and we're not. Yes, dear.
I want to get back to testimony.
Okay.
As I told you earlier, my testimony laid in a drawer for 40 years. I didn't know I was supposed to share it. once I learned that, and I did share it right here, a lady came up to me afterwards and asked, did you make that up or is it real?
That's unfortunate that she couldn't understand. There may have been anger in her. She may have had something similar to what happened and couldn't overcome it, didn't allow God to work through her. You know, that's one of the things I'm talking about. When you share testimony, be prepared for people to say things. It should not take anything from you, but bless her and hope that, you know, she comes to understand and to overcome as you have overcome. Okay. Somebody. Oh, this lady here, honey. Nope. Give her the yellow one. You're on.
Hello? Hi. just a couple things in listening to Liz speak and share some of her things is really exciting to me. I was baptized in this church when I was 17 years old. Got discouraged for a few years, but never forgot what Jesus had done for me and why I was baptized. So through a divine appointment, God led me back. So never give up. And you know, one of the things that I learned when I lived in Hawaii, every Sabbath, we had this 30-minute time where the congregation could share either their concerns or their celebrations. And every Sabbath morning, I could hardly wait to get to church in Kaneohe Church in Hawaii to share what God had done through me that week. Or if there was a concern, I could ask for prayer. It was such an exciting time. I encourage you folks, if you don't have that going in your church, for 30 minutes, you have two young men with the mic. Each person is given 3 minutes to speak. That means you got 10 people that are able to share. If they didn't get a chance to share that week, they can come back the next week and share. But what it did, and I want to share with you, I asked the pastor, I said, Pastor, am I sharing too much? I mean, I'm so excited about what God's doing in my life. I can hardly wait to get to church to share it. I said, do you think I'm sharing too much? And he said, no, Carol. He said, you share. He said, what you're doing is you are encouraging other people to share their testimonies. You are encouraging people with what God is doing in your life. Liz talked about divine appointments. There are God every morning that you take the time to pray and ask God to lead you to someone that day. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's the man behind the where you're buying groceries or the postman or whoever it is. When you hear that small, still voice say, pray for that person or speak to that person, if you do it, you will receive such a blessing. There are such a thing as divine appointments. How do you get those divine appointments? You ask God first thing in the morning. Then he will lead you to whoever he wants you to share the gospel with that day. And I just want to share how that worked with me. One time I was in Peru on a mission trip. I was in Brazil on a mission trip. And this friend of mine and I had prayed. We were looking for a meeting. If you've ever heard of 12-step meetings, there's a book written by, it was the name of it's Mind, Medicine, and Miracles. I forget the name of the doctor that wrote it. But he said the best support group going in the world today is AA. He said, I'm not indicating you all go out and get in trouble and have to join AA, but that is the best support group going in the world today. And so I was in Spain, and this other friend and I decided to go look for a 12-step group. We thought that maybe somebody besides ourselves might need to hear a word of encouragement. So we went, and we tried to find this church. And, of course, the meeting was held in a Catholic church in downtown Sevilla, Spain. So we went looking for the church, and we couldn't find it. So the other people with me started getting discouraged, and they said, let's go back. I said, I can't go back. I feel driven. I feel like I prayed this morning, God has a divine appointment for me. We finally, after much perseverance, we found this church. We walked into the church. There was a priest over here talking in Latin to the people, and over here, you walked by, and you walked down to this corridor, and you turned right, and you went way down to a long, dark hall, and on down that hall were some small meeting rooms. And when I was walking by, I saw a young man sitting in one of the small meeting rooms, and he had some books in front of him. I walked by the room, and then I backed up, and I looked in there. He was all by himself. He was sitting there waiting for somebody to come to the meeting. So I said to my friends, come. I said, here's the meeting. Here's where we're supposed to be. So we went walking in there, and he jumps up and he says, praise God, there is a God. He said, there is a God. And I'm looking at my friends going, wow, this is awesome. And so we all go in and we sit down and we had our meeting. Well, after the meeting, he shared with us. He said, I was sitting here praying for a whole hour that God would bring someone to the meeting tonight. I was so discouraged, he said. I had a slip and did something I knew was terribly wrong. I felt so guilty about it that I was going to commit suicide tonight. If you hadn't walked into this room, I was going to commit suicide tonight. And I was speechless, and he said, I want you to know that you three people are an answer to prayer. We were an answer to prayer because we asked him to send us to someone that day. The next, then later that night, he said, that evening, he said, would one of you be willing to come and meet with me tomorrow? And both of my friends were in the World's Fair there in Sevilla that year. I didn't have a part in it, so I said, I'll come meet with you. So I said to Judy Malchenko back at the room, when we were back at the room, I said, do you have a book that I could share with him? And so she gave me one about that Morris Vinden had. And I got on the bus the next day, went down, met with this young man who I had never met before, but because he was in need and God had sent me, we instantly became brothers and sisters. And I said, prayed the Lord on the way down to meet him that day. I said, God, what is it you want me to share? And he just sent the Holy Spirit through me, and I just couldn't shut up. I just kept telling him time after time, story after story about how God had used me, how God had spared my life, how God had sent me from Hawaii to Sevilla, Spain, to bring this message to him. So you just never know. And I will tell you, when you ask God, he will not fail you. It's when we fail is where we forget to ask, or we are too lazy to ask, or we're too busy to ask. So I encourage you all, ask God, and he will send you.
Thank you, Carol. That was really powerful. That's, yes. Honey, can you get this lady here?
Thank you for sharing that, Carol. I just wanted to say that Jason was saying he wishes we had two more hours here, but Arlene and I were talking, and we will open our home for you, Liz, to come and your friend and this afternoon, and everybody here is welcome to come too if you want to continue talking with Carol at 4:00. So, and one other thing I wanted to say is I am involved with the SPCA and the community and work with people and their cats. And I can't tell you how many times I hear people say they know about Adventists through 3ABN. And one man in particular, he said, you Adventists are the only ones out there preaching the truth. He says, I've been listening to Kenneth Cox, and he has answered every single question I've ever had in my life about regarding God and my salvation and the state of the dead. And he said, it has just completely changed my life. And I think that we're going to see a great harvest reaped someday for the Lord because of that media, and also Amazing Discoveries. We listen to that too. So if anybody needs to know how to get to my house, just see me afterwards.
I would encourage all of you, if you have the opportunity, to watch Amazing Discoveries. Your pastor is going to be on that station. Walter Veit is absolutely phenomenal. If you cannot reach him, if you don't have the dish, you can get it on your computer by typing in Amazing Discoveries and then going down to Walter Veit. One quick story about how I met him. I'm writing, working on this book, as I told you, and I'm getting a lot of flack from the brethren because of my conspiracy. And I said to Peach, oh, if I had the money, I would go to South Africa to talk with Walter Veit because he would understand what I'm going through. 2 days after I said that to her, I got a letter or an email from Dagmar, who owns Amazing Discoveries. And she said, I'm sorry I haven't written to you, but I'm very busy because Walter's here and we're just finishing up our filming. And I said, oh, is there any chance I could talk to him? And she said, well, sure, here's his telephone number. So I called him. He says, hello? And I said, Pastor Veit? And he said, yes. And I said, this is Liz Dahlweg. I think you're just wonderful. I go to bed with you every night. So he invited us up to Canada. But he is a delightful man. He is, oh, thank you very much, dear. Thank you. He is just as delightful in person. He is an honest man, and he is not afraid to say the truth. And you really need to pray for him because he is also a marked man. The Jesuits are very, very unhappy with what he is saying, and they're trying to stop him. He is not getting the support from our church that he should be getting, and yet he continues to do it. And he really, really needs our prayers. So if you would pray for Walter Veit, that would be wonderful because he is a voice. Another thing that you might find interesting is if you will go on the internet, there's something called Lighthouse Trails. These people are not Adventists. They are the stones that are crying out. They are saying the things that we as Adventists should be saying. You can find their articles on there as well. Yes, dear. Honey, would you take the...
Well, we need to remember, as we listen to these discouraging things, that people are going to come into our church from other churches. I have a personal experience. I was organist in a big Lutheran church in Green Valley, and I never pushed my religion, but people knew I was an Adventist because there were certain things I wouldn't do, like partake of the wine that they served every day as part of communion. Then we attend the little Green Valley church there. There was a man there. He says, I know you. You were organist at this Lutheran church. And he says, and he had recently been baptized. He was a member of that church. And he says, the pastor told me the Adventists have it right.
That's great.
That was so encouraging.
I had a friend, a Jewish friend. We were driving along one day, and she said to me, you know, Liz, I don't understand it. She said, you're always so up. You're always so happy. Is it that church you go to? And I went, yes. It is the way we walk. It is what we do. It is how we conduct ourselves. We are Christians. We represent Jesus Christ. And we must share him. Are we finished? Everybody get a chance to ask a question? Do you want a question? Oops. It's on.
I had brought a lady into the church, and the pastor that they did have here for a while on Wednesday night had passed out papers that he was going to be teaching spiritual formation. There was only two people out of 75 people in the room that stood up to him. The retired pastor over there is one of them. I told the lady I had just run into the church, I cannot take you anymore on Wednesday night because we cannot have you learn this. He didn't have those kind of sermons on Sabbath morning, so I kept bringing her Sabbath morning. I hope that doesn't happen here again. He had gone up to camp meeting to Portland, and Dwight Nelson was the main pastor. And I thought, I wonder what he's going to be teaching when he comes back. And you all know that Dwight Nelson feels that our God is the same one that the Muslims worship, but he isn't. And so that's what happened. Now, this pastor did bring his mother and father, who were Buddhists, to have lunch at Noah's Ark. And I said to him, why don't you take your mom back there and show her the sanctuary? Oh, no, she's Buddhist. I said, take her back. He did take her back and explained. And she came out, and she was just thrilled with what she had learned on the sanctuary. So I am praying every day, twice a day, for the Adventists to wake up. Jesus is coming, folks. And I'm sort of prejudiced with the old King James Version because I really think that's the one that's closest. And I keep praying that we will be in uniform and in using the real Bible. Jesus is coming soon. A lady came in, three of them, they're Muslims. They bought my book and they took the tour. And she came back the next week and she said, I read your book and I loved it. That tells how I became a Seventh-day Adventist, first a Christian, and how I became a Seventh-day Adventist. Jesus is coming, and I love him so much, and each one of us have a ministry to do. Jesus is coming.
That's absolutely true. I don't think I finished answering what you had said about spiritual formation. What can you do about it? I have friends who teach at Andrews. And I wrote to them and told them that I was very upset that spiritual formation was being taught at Andrews. And they wrote back and said that it wasn't spiritual formation. They changed the name to spiritual something. It's, you know, a rose is a rose. No matter what you call it, it's a rose. The only thing that you can do is be aware of what spiritual formation is. Speak up. Take the flack. I'm telling you, pastors are going to hit you with it. So a lot of the members, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. And we were visiting some friends, and I got a lecture that I haven't had ever in my life, I don't think, from the man who was there who told me I didn't know what I was talking about. And I listened to him, and all I could say was, just read the material, make up your own mind, you know. He has a right, just as I have a right. But know what the truth is. And just because it is an important pastor, do not necessarily believe that they know what they're talking about, because they have been deceived. Yes, sir.
Our own Northern Pacific Union Conference just came out in our gleaner with one of the theologian, pastors, or whatever at Walla Walla, claiming that there is no spiritual formation of any kind at Walla Walla University, despite the fact that Alex Bryan has written prolifically, and there's been numerous incidents on that campus. He came out and completely denied it, made anybody that has any concerns about what is going on at Walla Walla, or probably all of our universities, look like they were somehow fools. How do we deal with this?
Go ahead and read a book called Hunger by John Dibdall. Are you familiar with who John Dibdall is?
Yeah.
The president.
Yes.
John Dibdall says in it very proudly, for 25 years I have been teaching spiritual formation.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, well then let's have a word of prayer. Beloved Father, dearest Jesus, Holy Spirit, Lord, this is your church. We are your children. We want so much, Lord, to share the gifts that you have given to us with others. Give us the courage to do it. Use us, Lord. We are your servants. We are here to be used by you to free those who are imprisoned by the laws, the lies that Satan puts out. Help us, Lord, to use the sword of truth to unlock the cages, the prisons that hold those who do not know you. Use us, dear God, in all ways, for we are willing to be made willing to do what you would have us do. Bless each person here, give them traveling mercies, and I thank you, Lord, and ask blessings upon each and every one of them. In your precious name, amen.